Hello and welcome to this episode of Macro Sutra. I'm TCA Sharad Raghavan, Deputy Editor at The Print, and this time we're going to be talking about an issue that's close to all of our hearts, especially Indians in particular, but of course the public in the world at large, and that is gold. And why is the price of gold rising so much? To discuss this, to discuss the various factors, how much gold price has risen, we have with us, as always, Radhika Pandey, Associate Professor at NIPFP. Thank you, Radhika, for joining us.
Thank you, Sharad.
So now, Radhika, let's start with first quantifying how much the price of gold has risen. We know it's risen, but by how much?
Yeah, so gold prices have been rising since 2022. And we know that, you know, whenever there are these geopolitical crises, mm-hmm. whenever there are political and economic turmoil, gold prices tend to rise. But what is most noteworthy is that since February of 2024, gold prices have risen at a very sharp pace. So over the last 3 months, gold prices have risen by 15%. And now the ruling gold price is $2,400. Dollars per troy ounce. So okay. That's the accepted metric of how you measure gold prices, and it's released by the price released by the various bullion markets across mm-hmm. the globe. World Gold Council captures the gold prices, and when we look at the data, we see that in early April, the gold prices have risen to $2,400 per ounce, and just in mid of February or say early February, gold prices were around $2,000 and per ounce, and now they have risen to $2,400 per ounce. So there's a very steep surge that is happening since February 2024. But there has been a general trend of rise in gold prices since 2022-2023, but this the trend has sharpened over the last 3 months.
Okay, and now from your article, one of the reasons that you gave for this acceleration in the rise of gold prices is that central banks have started yes. buying more gold. So can right. you tell us which banks, I mean, we know India is also doing it, we'll get to India, but apart from that, which other central banks have been doing this?
So if we look at the composition of foreign exchange reserves of mm-hmm. any typical central bank, it has four components. It has the foreign currency assets, it has gold, it has the IMF special drawing right, which is right. the reserve asset created by the IMF, and then there is some reserve position with the IMF, which is the country's voting rights, or you know how much you can withdraw from the IMF. So the latter two are very small components. The two main components are the foreign currency assets and gold.
Right.
So with this background, if we see, you know, what is the which are the main central banks that are buying, at the forefront is the China Central Bank.
Okay.
And that is the main reason for the steep surge, because China has become such an important source of demand for gold. For the last consecutive 17 months, the People's Bank of China, which is the China Central Bank, has been stockpiling its gold reserves. And in terms of tons, now the Bank of China has accumulated more than 2,000 tons of gold. So that's a big amount. And every month they are accumulating, they are buying up gold. So that is one major central bank. The other emerging economy central bank, like Turkey Central Bank, has also stepped up its gold purchases. Russia has been buying gold. Now, the percentage of gold in the overall reserves will vary across central banks.
Right.
But in absolute terms, the magnitude of gold buying by central banks has risen, particularly in 2023. So in 2023, most of the months we saw gold buying by central banks, even in 2022 we saw, and over the last 2 years we have seen that overall central banks have accumulated more than 1,000 tons of gold, all the banks taken together.
Okay.
But primarily it is China, it is India, it is Turkey, it is Russia. Russia mm-hmm. has been accumulating gold, and there are reasons for China and Russia. The reasons are more prominent as compared to some of the other central banks, which are looking at gold for portfolio diversification.
Right.
But for China and Russia, it's more to do with, you know, the fear of sanction, more to do with the strategy of dissociating with dollar and relying more on other means of payment. So all these objectives are there, but in general, if we see the trend in 2022 and 2023, most of the major countries' central banks have stepped up their purchases of gold, with China being at the forefront.
Okay, and now just here a little insert, a little basic economics, the concepts of demand and supply. I mean, it's absolutely common sense. The supply of gold is finite. Nobody is really making any more gold in the world. There's only so much gold that there is in the world. So if suddenly you have central banks that are buying more and more gold, then of course the price will rise, because if demand always outstrips supply, then the price will rise. That's basic economics, and that's something that you should keep in mind when we talk about what central banks are doing and how it affects the price of gold. But now coming to India, India's foreign exchange reserves have also been rising, and within that, its gold purchases have also been rising, right?
Absolutely. So India's foreign exchange reserves in the last financial year, 23-24, rose by $67 million. So there has been a jump in foreign exchange reserves in FY24, and the proportion of gold has also risen as per the data from World Gold Council. So it seems that RBI is also stepping up its purchases of gold in the last 2-3 quarters. Now, if we look at the overall foreign exchange reserves, that have risen mainly because RBI has been intervening also in the foreign exchange market to prevent the rupee from undue fluctuating. So if we look at the exchange rate, the rupee dollar rate has moved in a very narrow range in the concluding financial year, despite dollar index, which is one of the key determinant of the rupee exchange rate, because if dollar rises, rupee falls in relative term. But even though while the dollar index, which is capturing the strength of dollar, the variable that captures the strength of dollar, it has shown wide variations across the year, but rupee hasn't. And the main reason for this is that RBI has increased its intervention. It has been purchasing as well as selling dollars to ensure that the rupee remains in a tight range.
The IMF, it was the IMF that pointed this out, right?
Yeah, IMF pointed this out, that, you know, despite market fluctuation, the rupee exchange rate has been in a very tight range. So that continues. And interestingly, if we look at the intervention data this year, for some of the months, intervention has been two-way. You know, normally it happens that either the RBI is a net purchaser or seller. Right. But here, in some of the months, RBI has been buying as well as selling, because at the same time, there was a pressure on the rupee to appreciate as well as depreciate. Appreciate because of aggressive FPI inflows coming into the market, and selling because if dollar index is rising, if global crude oil prices are rising, there is geopolitical tension, there is a pressure to depreciate. So intervention plays a very important role in the buildup of foreign exchange reserves.
Right.
Of course, there are other factors like if FDI inflows are more, if the capital account is in surplus, if your services export receipts are higher, then your foreign exchange reserves are higher. So all those things are there, but it is important to consider the intervention aspect also when we talk about the foreign exchange reserves.
But why gold?
Yeah, so foreign currency, so again, as I said, within foreign exchange reserves, you have two main components: foreign currency assets, where, you know, the RBI or any other central bank will hold in their reserves in various currencies, like in dollar, in pound, in Chinese renminbi, in Japanese yen, in euro, as, you know, treasury securities, as well as bank deposits. But the other thing is that if they want to diversify away from dollars, because dollar is showing fluctuation, if there are, you know, this concern around revaluation losses, because at the time when the central bank invested, the dollar bond yield was something else, and now dollar bond yield is something else because of fluctuations. So that would lead to revaluation losses, and to avoid revaluation losses, there is a tendency to adopt portfolio diversification. And that is the reason why RBI and many other emerging economies are also diversifying their portfolio. It's not that the share of dollar has drastically fallen. It is still 58 to 59% of overall foreign exchange reserves of all countries is in the form of dollars.
Right.
But slowly and gradually, there is also stepping up of gold purchases, led by, of course, China and Russia. But yes, there are other countries also that are gradually increasing their gold purchases.
Right. So, I mean, this can be equated to how an investor might also work.
Absolutely.
If one of the markets, like say, the crypto market is moving
Absolutely.
Up and down. So,
Absolutely.
Of course, you want to diversify to more stable assets.
Yeah.
So,
Absolutely.
It's in the same way.
Same way. And also, you know, experience shows, literature shows that gold is a very important hedge against inflation. Because
right.
If inflation is higher, what will happen is that the bond yields will be higher.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will be a tendency to keep interest rates elevated. So bond yields will be higher means bond prices will be lower, because there's an inverse relation between bond yield and prices. So if most of the central banks are just holding in terms of dollar bonds and price of dollar bond falls, so they will have revaluation losses. So that same like any prudent investor would do, there would be a tendency to diversify, particularly when there is uncertainty on currency,
right.
There is volatility on bond yields, there is uncertainty around when and whether the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates. So all these uncertainties will shape the decisions of central banks.
Inflation also right now
is also elevated. There is no commitment from central banks to start cutting interest rates. So all these factors will shape the decision of central banks to diversify their portfolio and keep some part in gold, because gold acts as a safe haven. Gold will maintain its value even if inflation rises, because for
right.
others the value will fall, but for gold it will retain its value.
Right.
And it's highly correlated. You know, the real value, real price of gold is always positive. If we just, you know, nominal upon the CPI index, the real price of gold is always positive. So all these factors make gold a very effective hedge against inflation.
By that you mean that the change in price of gold is always beating inflation.
Absolutely.
It's always higher.
Absolutely.
Right.
So that is why it's giving a positive return.
Yeah.
It's not giving a negative return like in fixed deposit. If fixed deposit
right.
rate is lower than your inflation rate, you are getting a negative return.
Right.
But here you do get a positive return, and that's if you know, over a medium to long term, there could be short run fluctuation, but in the long run, gold always beats inflation.
Right, so we'll get to how people have been consuming
Correct.
Gold as well. But I had one question to do with the foreign exchange reserves. Now, India has now historically high
Absolutely.
Levels of forex reserves.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as too much reserves? Are there any risks of holding too much foreign reserves? Foreign exchange reserves?
Yes. So there's a whole literature on the adequacy of reserves, you know, how
mm-hmm.
much reserve is adequate for any country. And there are these traditional metrics which are popularized by the IMF and which are used for measuring the adequacy, which is firstly how much your foreign exchange reserve is able to provide for imports. What is
right.
the import coverage of foreign exchange reserves? That if you do not have anything, how many months your forex reserves can cover up for your import payments. So
mm-hmm.
In India's case, that number is 10 months. So we have that much forex reserve
okay.
that we can cover up for 10 months of import. So that is one traditional metric. The other is short-term debt to forex reserves. You know, your forex reserves should be sufficient enough to repay debt which has a maturity of less than 1 year. So
mm-hmm.
that is the other metric. But now, you know, these metrics are there, but there is a lot of discussion that, you know, we should move abstract away from these indicators, and based on the structure of the economy, we need to assess the adequacy of reserves.
Okay.
For example, a country which has placed a lot of restrictions on the inflow and outflow of capital, that kind of country may not need such a huge amount of foreign exchange reserves, because you are not allowing the rupee to fall or rise, because you are not allowing capital to move freely, inflow and outflow.
Right.
So if there are, you know, elaborate system of capital control, the adequacy of forex reserves will be different as compared to another country which has a free capital account,
right.
which has a market determined exchange rate. So bottom line is that the adequacy of reserves should be dependent on the various factors, on various characteristics affecting the economy. Other than that, there is an opportunity cost of holding reserves, because if you are holding too many reserves, then you are also likely to suffer revaluation losses when there are these undue fluctuations in bond yield. And in fact, there was a committee established in 2022 to assess the, you know, how much, whether we are having adequate reserves, how much provisioning we need to do for various kind of risks like market risk, interest rate risk. Right. And the committee found that we are keeping too many reserves. You know, the kind of assumption that we are taking for provisioning for various risks, that is quite pessimistic. We don't see that kind of risk materializing simultaneously. But that's a debatable topic. But yes, there is definitely an opportunity cost of holding too many reserves.
Yes, I mean, that does seem kind of debatable, because I am very, very risk averse. So yeah. I'm the type who would like to keep lots and lots for a rainy day, just in case you need it.
Absolutely.
And now, if the downsides of keeping so much aside for a rainy day are not that much, then I'd say go ahead, save.
Yes, yeah. So there, this is exactly the debate that's happening, that RBI is also risk averse, so it's keeping, and it has proved time and again that, you know, because we had so many reserves, we were able to tide over.
Right.
Again, that is debatable, but you know, we don't know what was the counterfactual. But yes, that's a very interesting area of discussion.
Right. And now coming to the behavior of people.
Correct.
It's not just the central banks that are demanding gold.
Yeah.
It's also the people. And as I said, gold is very important to us Indians. It's, it has a lot of cultural value.
Absolutely.
In our jewelry, our Mangalsutra, the earrings, your wedding rings, all of that. So, how much is the rise in price to do with demand from the public?
Yeah, so demand from the public is also a very important source of the, you know, the surge in price of gold. Again, China has been at the forefront of this, because China is the major producer as well as consumer of gold.
Right.
China and Russia, they mint gold, but at the same time, because there is an increase in demand, China's imports of gold have also skyrocketed in the recent months. And coming particularly to China, why there is a sudden, why there is demand? Because for Chinese households, they do not have any other lucrative investment option. Real estate is in shambles. Mm. There is this protracted real estate crisis is continuing. Yuan is depreciating. So there is stock market volatility. There are these restrictions on how much the Chinese resident can invest abroad, how much capital they can take abroad.
Right.
So when all these options are exhausted, they are left with investment in gold. So and that's the reason why normally India used to be, like last year, India used to be the biggest consumer of jewelry, gold bars, coins, and this year it's China that has overtaken India. And because China is such a big consumer and source of demand, that has led to increase in the global demand as well as price of gold overall. And we are a price taker, and therefore price in rupee terms has also risen. If we talk in terms of ounce, we are seeing that now the gold price in terms of rupees is rupees 2 lakh per ounce.
Okay.
Or in terms of grams, it is 70,000 per 10 gram. And now there is this speculation that it can touch over the next 5-6 years, it will touch 2 lakh rupees. So, you know, what's happening is that the central banks buying of gold is not going to stop anytime soon. So because as we saw for China and Russia, there are these geopolitical constraints. So they would like to use gold as a strategy to defy the impact of sanctions. So there will be demand for gold. Demand for gold from people like us would depend on many other factors. Geopolitical constraints, if they ease out, there could be some moderation, but there will be one factor which will tend to pull up the price of gold, which is the central bank's buying of gold.
Right. And also, if other investment opportunities start becoming more attractive,
Absolutely. Then
people might start putting their money there.
But particularly, if you see, we've talked about this earlier, the saving behavior of Indian household, we have seen
it's
that
changing.
There is a shift from financial to physical, and a part of it is real estate, but also gold. So there is this structural transformation happening, and that will support the demand for gold and hence the price.
Right. Okay. And so now we have a question from Sankalp. He says that could we extend the conclusion, I'm assuming that he means that, you know, the central banks have been buying more gold, and the RBI also has been, to suggest that RBI is expecting a correction in the rupee dollar exchange rate. And as a side note, he asks, why is the Great Britain, the pound, strengthening against the rupee?
Yeah, so this rupee dollar rate movement has become very dynamic, and you know, it also depends on how much RBI will intervene. So the best thing to first look at is the dollar rate or the dollar index. So that will determine the price of gold, and whether it will have a correction on the rupee dollar rate will depend on whether RBI allows the exchange rate to fluctuate, or right, whether it is, you know, intervening to maintain the exchange rate. So now, what's happening is that now the US macro data will come out, the US GDP data, the US CPI data, all these things will determine the trajectory of the dollar index and mm-hmm. the dollar bond yield. So now if dollar regains its strength, and if it, you know, starts to rise, then the price of gold expressed in dollars, it becomes more expensive for the non-American investors.
Right.
And then gold tends to become less attractive. So normally gold tends to become more attractive when dollar is weaker. So now if dollar regains its strength, then the price of gold expressed in terms of dollar will become more expensive for the non-American investors, and therefore it will price of gold may cool down. So there are these factors that we need to look at in the coming months to make sense about the trajectory of gold prices.
Right,
and also there's a question on the pound.
On the pound. Right.
Yeah, and the pound thing will is relative. You know, one thing is that because the Bank of England has increased their interest rate at a much sharper pace as compared to India.
Correct.
So that has given more strength to the dollar in relative terms as compared to India, and that is one reason why pound is strengthening against the dollar. And pound strengthening against the dollar also happens when dollar weakens.
No, he's asking strengthening against the rupee.
Yeah, strengthening against the rupee will happen if, because the intermittent thing is the dollar.
Right.
So, okay, first thing is that if the Bank of England raises its interest rates more than the RBI, then there will be, pound will be more stronger as compared to rupee.
Right.
That is point number one. And point number two is, what is the trajectory of dollar index? Because dollar index is also pegged to these currencies like Great Britain pound and Japanese yen and so on. So if dollar weakens against these currencies, then these currencies will become stronger against Indian rupee as well. So
right,
it's a relative thing. So whenever dollar weakens, these currencies rise, and they rise against Indian rupee as well. But the main factor is, again, that, you know, the pace and magnitude of interest rate hikes have been much stronger for Bank of England as compared to RBI.
RBI, right. So there you go. I mean, the overall picture is that not only central banks around the world, but mostly ones like China, Russia, and to some extent India, have been buying more and more gold. Gold is a limited resource, and so as they buy more and more gold, the price is going to rise. But apart from that, even the public is buying more gold. In times of trouble, you tend to move towards more stable assets. This is what is happening in China. They have nowhere else to really invest their money, so they're putting their money in gold. In India as well, we're seeing that people's savings are moving from financial instruments more towards fixed assets, things like property and, of course, gold. So this is a behavioral shift also that's happening here. But all of this means that the price of gold is rising fast and will continue to maybe not rise as fast. That's tough to predict, but yes, it will continue to rise. But on that note, that's all we have for you. Thank you so much for watching.